Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. So how did God become a man? Well, first of all, we read in the first chapter of Genesis that man was made in the image of God. Male and female, he made them. So we're in the image of God. Now here is a very interesting psalm to look at, and something that relates to why we are here. So let's come to Psalm 8, and let's see what David said in contemplating his existence and why there are human beings. And how did he make him, and how is it that God can become a man? Now, sometimes you do this. You go out, you look at all the stars on a clear night and see all of them. I'm inspired every time I see various of the photos that have been taken, hundreds of thousands of them that we have now with our space telescopes, the Hubble, and they peer clear into the vastness of the universe with all the stars. So David was doing this one night, and he said this, beginning in verse 1, Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Quite a thing, isn't that? The glory and majesty of God is absolutely phenomenal and great. That's another whole study we can get into as well. Now, verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. Now, who made those? The Lord God. And the Lord God was the one who became the Word. And the Word was God. And with God, as we've already covered. So you see how the New Testament and Old Testament agree. He said, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you care for him? Is God interested in us? Yes, you can look at some of the things that we have done. One segment that I did, we entitled, God, Do You Know I Exist? You watch that one. Yes, he knows you exist. And he wants you to come to him. He has sent his word to you in order that you can come to him. Now, that's quite a phenomenal thing when you figure of the billions of Bibles that there are in the world, which shows that God is interested in all of mankind. And his plan goes way beyond what anybody ever knew, and the knowledge of that plan is in the Bible. Now notice verse 5. For you have made him a little lower than God. Now that's quite a profound statement. We're made in the image and likeness of God and a little lower than God. Now why is that? Well, you need our book, From a Speck of Dust to a Son of God, Why Were You Born? And that will open the phenomenal truth to you of why you are here. And when you stop and think about it, if you don't know why you were born and why you were here and why God has created you, don't you think you're missing the most important thing in life? And what is it that God wants to give? He wants to give us eternal life as his sons and daughters. And that's the whole process of conversion. Get this book. Absolutely important. From a speck of dust to a son of God, why were you born? Now then, little lower than God, and have crowned him with glory and honor. And what is that glory and honor? that he's given the control of the earth to mankind to do whatever they need to do, and so that men and women can come to God. Now, there's also the adversary, Satan, the devil, who rebelled at this plan of God. And so we have to resist him and understand how clever and how deceitful and what a liar that he is. But that we'll save that for another segment. So let's ask the question, how did God become a man? Well, first of all, there was an agreement between God the Father and Jesus Christ. So when he came to the earth, because of all the prophecies that we mentioned there, all you need to get the booklet, the prophecies of Jesus in the Old Testament, 356 of them. Now also, in the plan that they had, it was written in the scroll of truth in heaven above. Now there was a special scroll which was written between God the Father and Jesus Christ on what Jesus would do when he became a man. So Hebrews, the 10th chapter, let's read that. Verse 7, chapter 10. Then I said, lo, this is God speaking to himself, I come, as it's written of me in the scroll of the book, to do your will, O God. So that shows there are two gods. Now notice verse 9. Then I said, lo, I come to do your will, O God. And he also said that it's impossible for the blood of animals, and bulls and goats, and lambs to take away sin. Why? Are not all of those lesser beings than human beings? So how can the blood of a lamb forgive the sin of a man? Only, as we will see, the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's why he became a man. Now let's come to 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. Now how all of that was accomplished, we're told just a very little, just enough so we can understand it. But it is called a mystery. And that is a secret of God. How did they do this? 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16. And undeniably great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. We'll see how that happened. Was justified in the Spirit, was seen by angels, was proclaimed among the Gentiles, was believed in the world, was received up in glory. Now that's quite a summary of the whole process. But how did God, who is a living spirit being, become a human being? What did he have to do? So, Philippians 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Now stop and think a minute. This is the very goal of conversion. That through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, through living God's way, for studying and praying, all of these things to develop the very character or mind of God here. Because conversion is in the brain, in the mind, in the spirit, and in the heart. So let's see what happened. Speaking of Jesus, verse 6, who although he existed in the form of God, because he was God. That's what we find in 1 John 1, 1 through 3. And did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Notice what he did. But emptied himself and was made in the likeness of men, and took the form of a servant. Now we saw that that was written down. Now let's come to the Gospel of John, and let's come to chapter 10, and let's see what Jesus said about what he did, and that he did this willingly. Now remember, He was the one who was the creator of all mankind. Now, that's something very profound to understand. John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He did it because he was the creator of all mankind. Now, think about that. We'll touch on that a little bit more. But the one who is a hireling and is not the shepherd, who's owned the sheep or not, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf seizes the sheep and scatters them. Now, the hireling flees because he is a hireling and has no concern for the sheep. And that's exactly what it is with a lot of these religious people who claim they're Christian pastors. They're there for the wealth for themselves. Well, think about that. But notice what Jesus said of himself. I am the good shepherd, and I know those who are mine, and am known of those who are mine. There are always true Christians out there, the few, scattered, but they are there. And God is with them, and they know God. And they're on the way to salvation and the first resurrection. Verse 15, just as the Father knows me, I also know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He did it in love, freely. Imagine that. Verse 16, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Question, how do you hear the voice of Jesus Christ? Does he speak directly to you? No. It's in the Word of God. And I'm reading to you the voice that has been written down about what God said when he was manifested in the flesh. It's all right in the Bible. Let's read on. On account of this, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may receive it back again, resurrected from the dead. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have authority to lay it down and authority to receive it back. This commandment I received from my Father. And that's what was written down as we read in Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Amazing! God's plan, when we understand it, goes back before the ages of time as we know time. Now let's come back to Philippians, the 2nd chapter. Verse 7 says, he took on the form of a man. Now, verse 8, and being found in the manner of man, everything about a human being, every way that the body works, that the mind works, that the eyes work, that the internal organs function and everything, and we see that Jesus got hungry, and we see that Jesus slept, and all of that. And being found in the manner of man, he humbled himself. Now you talk about being humble, coming from being God in glory. And he did show the disciples his glory in vision, didn't he? Matthew 18. Yes, where his face shined like the sun. And he was just absolutely beautiful in gorgeous spirit being. But he's fashioned as a man, humbled himself, and became obedient unto death. He had to live a perfect life. He had to never sin once. So you think about everything that you go through and why, when you come to repent of your sins to God through Jesus Christ, he understands and knows, and he knows the weaknesses that we have. He understands the pull of the flesh, because he was tempted in every way like we are, but without sin. That's a tremendous thing to contemplate. Even the death of the cross, the most cruel way to die. That's what he chose. So let's see how that happened. What did God do? Now, in the book that we have, A Harmony of the Gospels, we find there are certain clues which tell us so we can figure when Jesus was born. And he was not born anywhere near December 25th. That is in commemoration of pagan gods. Now, they take some of the things that are in the Bible and weave it together for a story that isn't true. Everything that God does is according to the calculated Hebrew calendar. And in the Harmony of the Gospels, we can pinpoint exactly when Jesus was born. And that's quite astonishing when you understand it. Now, people read Luke, the first chapter, and they wonder why some of these things are there. And if they don't read the Old Testament, they don't understand it. And if they don't understand that there is a calculated Hebrew calendar, they will have no way of figuring any time setting from what the things I'm going to read here reveal. But they do reveal it. So let's pick it up, chapter 1 and verse 5. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest of the course of Abijah. People would read that and they wouldn't even give it a thought. What does that mean? Course of Abijah. Well, I'll just tell you. When David set up everything for the temple to give to Solomon his son to build, he set up all the priests in 24 courses. And they would work from noon Sabbath that way. Each course of the priest only had to work a half day on the Sabbath. That God allowed them to do. Now then, they would come with the 24 courses to work at the temple twice in the year. And then, in the spring Passover unleavened bread time, all courses worked because of the number of people and sacrifices. Likewise, when Pentecost would come, and likewise with the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, the course of Abijah, when you read that, that was the eighth course. So you count from the first of the year, and course one, course two, course three, and then all courses together with Passover and unleavened bread, and then course four, and course five, and then six, and seven, and eight. Now, eight was the week before Pentecost, and the week of Pentecost, they had all of the priests there. So, we can calculate from the Hebrew calendar when Zechariah was there being priest. And we can figure when he left, because this is the starting point as to when Jesus was born. Now, we have all of that in the harmony. When was Jesus born? Now then, he had a wife named Elizabeth, and she was barren. However, now was the time for God to begin delivering the promise of the coming Messiah. And it begins with John the Baptist. So Zechariah was the father of John the Baptist, and Elizabeth was his mother. So here's what happened. He was in offering incense at the hour of prayer. Now, verse 11. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when he saw the angel, Zechariah was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Verse 13. But the angel said to him, "Fear not, Zacharias, because your supplication has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear a son to you, and you shall call his name John." Well, now, both of them were old, in their 70s. So God performed a miracle. Now, he did that so that the birth of John the Baptist, when he was born, would be known everywhere.
"Whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace."
Quite a thing. Now, verse 14. "And he shall be a joy and an exaltation to you, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great before the Lord, and he shall never drink wine nor strong drink in any form, but he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God, for he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people for the Lord." Now, this is all in preparation, prophesied 209 years before by Malachi the prophet. Now, notice what happened. "So then, Zechariah said to the angel, 'By what means shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years.' And the angel answered and said to him, 'I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to announce this good news to you. But behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day in which these things shall take place, because you did not believe my words, which shall be fulfilled in their time.'" That's quite a statement, isn't it? So poor old Zacharias, when he came out, everyone was wondering why he was so long in the temple, and he came out and he couldn't speak.
"His name is John."
Now, why is this important with Zacharias? Because he became the father of John the Baptist, who would come before the Lord. Now, this is important. Elizabeth was the aunt of Mary, who was the one who became the mother of Jesus. This gives us a time setting so we can know. Now, let's read on just a little bit more. We find out that in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel, the same one who spoke to Zechariah, came to Mary. And then an incredible thing happened while Gabriel was speaking to her. Remember what we read in Philippians, the second chapter. He had to divest himself of being God to become a pinpoint of life and then be begotten in the womb of the Virgin Mary. So that's a very profound thing, but it's important to understand that John the Baptist had to come first, and then this gives us the chronology. So, verse 30. "Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, because you have found grace with God. Behold, you shall conceive in your womb and give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give him the throne of David his forefather, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob into the ages, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now that ties in with the prophecy of Isaiah 9 and verse 6. God does everything on time by prophecy, telling us before time what's going to happen. So Mary didn't know how this can be because she had no relations with a man, though she was engaged to Joseph. Verse 35, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest, that is God the Father, shall overshadow you. For this reason, the Holy One being begotten in you shall be called the Son of God. Now then, it was that begettal took place right at the time that Gabriel was speaking. Now, Mary had to be a very righteous woman. Likewise with stepfather Joseph, he had to be very righteous and strong and intelligent and obedient. Now, we'll end it here so we get the time frame. Now, behold, your kinswoman has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Quite a thing. So this gives us a time frame. We can lay it out week by week with the calculated Hebrew calendar, and it's in the book, The Harmony of the Gospels, The Life of Jesus Christ in Modern English. Quite a thing. It's all there. And all of this is in the Bible, yet those in fake Christianity try and conform it to December 25th. It doesn't work. And try and make it something that it isn't. So you will find the exact truth of it. And so this is all important to know about how Jesus came in the flesh. So until next time, this is Fred Calder saying, so long, everyone.